they canceled it.
Thank you. We're going to get underway. Welcome to the National Airport Authority Board meeting for April 15, 2015. Roll call, please.
I'll ask, we're of course recording the meeting, so anybody that speaks, just state your name before you speak. Chair Stevens?
Here.
Vice Chairman Machigan?
Here.
Treasurer Rosenblum?
Here.
Secretary Cushing Adams?
Here.
And Director Jackson called and said he won't be able to attend.
I'd like to welcome VIPs. Alderman David Shoneman's here, and welcome. And I don't reckon I see any other VIPs. Well, we're all VIPs, right?
Danny.
And I'd like to open it up for public input. Is there any input that the public would like to introduce tonight? Dana. Okay, we'll move on. The minutes, Director Cushing Adams.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the National Airport Authority minutes from the March 18th, 2015 meeting as presented.
Second the motion.
Motions made and second. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, there's a correction, just a spelling error. I noticed under CIP report, there's an R missing from treasurer. First word.
An R missing from treasurer in the first word.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. With the correction of the R, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Treasurer's report, Director Rosenblum.
Included in the packet is the March 31st financial statements. I'll ask that refer to page 8, which shows the actual versus the budgeted for March and year to date. This is March, it says February on top. It says February 28th on top, but I believe those are the March 31st statements. Land lease income is up about $1,600 for the month. Tie down parking was down $540. And we had budgeted $6,200 for snow removal income for the month. We had none. We fortunately had no snow. However, our year-to-date actuals on snow removal was $38,000 versus a budget of $25,000. So on the income side, we were shy about $5,500. On the operating expenses, wages were below budget by $3,500 due to a vacancy in the workforce. Otherwise, the other expenses are pretty much in line as I projected in last month's report. We had a $5,500 fuel expense, which was primarily the fuel for the snow removal in February. The net income for the month of March shows a shortfall of $2,000. We have projected a shortfall of $3,100, so that's a $1,000 of variance to the positive. And on the year to date, we show a shortfall of $12,711, and we have budgeted $47,900. So we have $35,000 variance to the good there. However, we still are in a deficit position. I would like to make a motion to accept the March 31st financial statements pending audit.
I have a second.
Second.
a few questions.
We have to accept it.
I'll second.
And discussion. Go ahead.
Susan and I talked earlier about advertising expenses, and when we posted for a job opening, that was listed under advertising expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering if that is really where it should be.
It was advertising.
Okay.
It should be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know if it would be under, you know, office expenses or something like that.
No,
if we could.
It should be advertising.
So that comes out of the budget.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is the fences unlimited, transponders and things like that, transmitters, where's all this? Is that on this one?
Transmitters. That's a...
Is that operating expenses too, do you know?
That was building and grounds.
Building and grounds.
Yeah, that would be building and grounds.
Maintenance, yeah.
Yeah.
And the, so we'll talk about the transmitters, I guess. What are those for, the 20 additional transmitters?
Those are to replace the clickers that we use in our snow removal equipment.
Okay. So that's all I have for discussion.
Yes.
Andy Nyans. I wonder if you could give us the cash, the investment, and the outstanding loan amounts for March, if you would, please.
As of March 31st, we had $33,000 in cash in our operating account. We had a CD of $53,000 that's due in January of 2016. And we have a CD at National Bank that's due March 25th, which just came due. But it wasn't recorded on the book. But that has $67,777. Did we renew that? That was renewed. Is that a year?
I believe it was a year, yes.
Okay.
And is there any outstanding on the loan?
Yeah.
The same.
On the loan.
Mm-hmm. It's 80,000.
80,000.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. David Sean. The loan, is that the loan for the property? Is that a property?
Yep.
Loan? So we've gotten some money then reimbursed on that, because I understand it was $200,000 of the borrowing, is that correct?
That's correct. The balance is $80,000, and then we have $153,000 cash at this point. We don't want to drop our cash levels down and go through the effort, which could be involved in getting another long-term loan. We expect reimbursement for that loan maybe August, September.
I see. So the fact that it's $80,000, it isn't that we got some money from the government. We just didn't take that much out.
Right. Well, actually, we had prepaid some other projects, got money back, didn't have any liabilities against that, and paid down the loan. So we're pretty much, and then that's where the capital project's going to play. We need to cash in, cash out on the capital projects, but at this point in time, I think we're pretty much, that's a good picture of where we stand right now, is $153,000 cash and $80,000 in liabilities, and waiting for reimbursement from the FAA. Of course, that would require approval first. Any more questions or discussion? Okay, motion to approve
Motion's on the table.
On the table to approve the treasurer's report and second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to communications. Director Cushing Adams.
We've received two communications, NAA 15-006. The underground storage tank removal deadline from NHDEF. And we have that on file. So that's December 22nd is the deadline, right? Pretty much a deadline
right.
for everything. And then NAA 15-007, withdrawal of, well, this is the Sweeney, Damaris Ewing and Johnson Sweeney. That's on file.
And I'd like to open up for discussion for any of those communications. I'm going to start with this Sweeney deposition thing.
Mm-hmm.
The deadline on that is response.
30 days from receipt.
30 days from receipt, whenever that is. Okay, so May 10th. Pretty much, we've got a large change of people, and of course, you don't know anything about this, so, and they've addressed it to you. Some of us were around at that point, but they didn't address it to us. So I would say 80 to 90% of these questions are, I don't know, or I wasn't here. And certainly, we don't want to, you know, go around and research all these issues. They're asking you for your understanding of events. And it's my take that they're just going to throw this out to everybody they possibly can to, which is normally the case. So I don't want you to spend too much time on it, but do consult with the attorney that has asked, well, our the friendly attorney.
That's
to make
nice.
Sure that you're doing what he wants you to do. Okay?
We'll do.
I guess that's all I have to say about it.
Just to add to that, I did meet with Steve and reviewed his submission, proposed submissions. And I agreed that I would say 90% of what was, he was not involved and he didn't know. And then on the documentation, he's recovered other documentations that he's going to include in passing on to Damaris, our lawyer. That's
I called over to Gail and talked to Nick, and he seemed to think that they would be answering most of those questions for us.
Well, we have to satisfy our lawyer's demand. They, in turn, are going to satisfy their lawyer's demand.
Okay, so it's not going to be a group effort.
Yeah.
It's separate,
yeah.
Two separate things.
Correct. Okay. Anything else on communications? Move on to reports. Tower report, please.
Mr. Chair, the for the month of March, we were down 571 operations from 2014 to 2015, which represents about 13% decline. So far, overall for the year, we're down 20%. And the month of February was not kind to our VFR pilots. The jet operations were on the low end for the month of March. 74.
I would look at this and say that year to date, this is the first 3 months that I can see since 2000, well, ever, probably in the last 20 years. So let's hope it's weather and things pick up. Okay, the airport manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity on the airport has been light with no reported strikes. Taxiway lighting system is back in service. The problem resulted from a burned up transformer inside one of the light cans near the runway. 2015 Touch a Truck event planning has begun. The event's scheduled for August 15th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The 2015 Aviation Safety Expo on March 28th was another great success. There were over 200 people who showed up for the expo. We've received the final draft of the Wildlife Hazard Assessment. I placed the document on our website under the Links and Documents tab. We're in the final stages of hiring a new airfield technician. Something that I put on our front page of our website and on our Facebook page, the FAA is proposing the elimination of two approaches into Boer Field, the VOR Alpha and the NDB Runway 14, as well as 734 other approaches across the country, including others at New Hampshire airports. If you utilize these approaches for the pilots here, we would encourage you to submit your comments directly to FAA. I can give you the website. I have some printouts here of the website you can go to in the Federal Register. The comment period will be open until May 28, 2015. And with such a rich training environment here, we believe that all of our approaches should be preserved, particularly the VOR Alpha. The VOR Alpha serves as an excellent backup in the event of any of our ILS equipment is down. Like I said, if anybody wants information about where to submit comments to or how to submit comments to, I can give you the address for the website.
I have a comment concerning that. The deadline is May 28th, you said, or May 10th?
May 28th.
May 28th.
Yeah.
Can we send out an email blast to everybody, all tenants, and just kind of make sure they are aware of this and maybe follow up maybe the week prior and make sure that they're reminded time is running out?
I've done an email blast to my contacts for the airport users, which is a couple hundred people, and I will follow up as we get closer.
I'll do it too.
And I distinctly remember this last year, or was it the year before? Is this going to be a continuous thing, do you think?
Well, this is part of the FAA's next-gen initiative to eliminate all ground-based nav aids and go strictly to a GPS system. They're constantly struggling with budget issues, which is part of the impetus for trying to decommission a lot of these ground-based nav aids. I suspect it'll continue to be a problem.
Well, I would think we put 50 letters out just by copying and putting new data on the last set. So I just didn't know if this is something they're going to hit us with every year or not. There's no way of telling, I guess. But it's not the same decision process. It's a brand new request for input, right?
It is, yeah. Okay. It is. On Tuesday, yesterday, I attended an informational meeting by the Federal Emergency Management Association. We are entitled to and will be requesting reimbursement for damages incurred during the blizzard that took place in late January through the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. I don't know the exact amount of what we're entitled to request. We're allowed to request any overtime expenses and any equipment expenses. There was a little bit of confusion as to what the time frame was. So we had calculated that the 28th, we didn't work the 27th, the airport was closed, nobody, as far as I know, nobody was here. But on the 28th, we incurred around $5,300 in equipment expenses. I imagine the 29th is going to be somewhat of a similar number. So we'll be requesting somewhere around $10,000 worth of reimbursement for equipment costs. And if there's any overtime that was incurred on that Thursday, we'll be entitled to that as well, but I don't think there was any.
Great, good.
And lastly, we've entered into an agreement to host the Commemorative Air Force in June, and the question I have here is, does this require any kind of FAA approval to have, similar to the Collins Foundation, they're going to bring one of two flying B-29s and two other of their aircraft. I'm not exactly sure which two.
What exactly does the consist of?
They park on the ramp, on the tower ramp, they rope it off and they charge people for admission to walk around, and they also charge for rides. I asked if there was any possibility of us sharing the take, and the answer was no.
Well, we can't even sell refreshments, can we? I think they have some restriction against that.
I didn't ask that question. We would have to man somebody there for a weekend.
Maybe Sandy can sell raffle tickets.
Pull some raffle tickets.
50-50 raffle.
We'll see. We'll work on that.
I don't know if it needs board approval or not. I think it's just an operational issue, but I think we probably should give it and sanction it as a board sanctioned item. So anybody care to throw a motion in?
I move to approve the commemorative Air Force in June. We don't have a date yet, right?
It's the weekend of June 18.
Father's Day weekend, right?
No, it's the weekend before that.
Are you sure? I thought you said it was the same weekend as Ribfest, no?
No.
13th.
Oh. They'll be arriving on the 11th. They'll be here the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th, and departing early on the 15th.
So the shuttle bus was...
that was the following Saturday, yes.
Saturday, Sunday is 13, 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
The motion is to approve the request for commemorative Air Force to operate on June 11 through 15.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that carries.
Thank you. That concludes my report. Mr. Chair.
I have a question on that one. Thank you, David Shum again. Where are they going to park when they're here? It seems to me the last time they parked kind of down south, I guess, where that pedestrian access point was last year. Could they park in front of the restaurant, for instance, in that big apron there, or is that... disrupt traffic.
They're parking on that apron, on the south end of that apron, with the idea being that the rest of that apron in front of the restaurant will be open for business, for people who want to come to the restaurant or fly in and check out the warbirds.
Were there a lot of fly-ins last year? A lot of people that flew in?
It was midweek last year for Collings Foundation, so I don't think we had a whole lot of...
The weather wasn't great either, was it?
National Jet.
I don't think the weather was great.
There's no problem, by the way, on our end. I'm delighted to have
them. Do you know if there was a lot of fly-ins last year for Collins?
We were not.
No? Okay. Yeah, it was midweek, so it was a little tough.
Would it be problematic to move it a little further north to be in front of restaurant National Jet? It seems it's more showcased, and people could come to the restaurant, they could eat, they could look out and see all this, as opposed to just seeing the empty ramp and peering way down to the side of the airplanes. Would it be to our advantage to have it more central, or is that too problematic?
Well, it's also visibility. You want to be able to see them.
Right, I like that idea. I think it's better to have it in front of central right now. But not just because it's my restaurant. I close early anyway. It is good for people to...
Well, right in front of the tower and right in front of NJA is... you can't see what's going on the runway or the taxiway or the ramp. If it's visible from the fence, at least maybe the city might know we're having a special event. I'm okay with wherever they want to place themselves, but consider that when you locate them.
That location was chosen because there is a gate right there, and there's power right in the ground right there in one of the electric tie-downs. That's why we chose that spot. I'm open to any suggestions.
I think
where exactly is it?
The advantage of that selection was that the public just ingresses and egresses right at that gate.
Correct,
doesn't come
yeah.
In the busier areas. And they stand, those that don't want to pay the fee, they stand outside the gate on the grass.
But
and
we
the parking
have,
lot's
yeah.
right behind them.
There's a gate too, where the walkway is.
Correct, yeah.
There is a gate there too.
Yeah.
You're talking right in front of the tower, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty, it's just south of the tower, yeah, correct.
Right, towards the grass.
Yep.
Yeah, 100
right.
feet. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's wide open, really.
Yeah.
You can see right into it.
Doesn't interfere with any aircraft movement in front of the taxi area, the parking area. exception from the restaurant either.
It's farther away from the inner taxi lane as well. The inner taxi lane kind of makes a curve right in front of the FBO there.
It's true.
And this is a little farther away. It's almost you can cordon off that corner of the ramp.
Are we doing anything to advertise it?
They'll be providing flyers, and they'll be hanging them all over the city, and we'll be hanging them all over the airport. We'll put it on our website, of course, and our Facebook page.
And telegraph it. I hope. Yeah. Of course, we're not going to advertise. We'll just try to get it in the paper.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to committees. The S&P committee.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You missed the airport manager.
I'm always skipping the airport engineer.
Again, yeah.
So we'll go with the airport engineer, Mr. Roy Rankin.
Yeah, thank you. Nick wasn't able to make it tonight. He'll be here next month. Number one and two on the report that we sent you are still awaiting grant amendments. We've done everything we can do. The airport's done everything they can do. It's up at the state level now. We're waiting for those to come back. As Steve already pointed out on the wildlife hazard assessment, that's completed. It has been put out, and we'll be closing that project out next month. The installation of the perimeter wildlife fence got back underway today. I think they're looking at probably about another 2 weeks to complete that. There's also the tree clearing is ongoing. That started about a week ago. We're hoping to get the FAA's final the checkout on that probably around the 15th of next month, and that'll complete that project. The two property acquisitions, they had the bid opening for the demolition of the two buildings, and you're up to speed on what happened with that, right? The bids came in, the apparent low bidder was disqualified because they didn't provide the basic requirements that they should have had. So our recommendation is to award it to the second lowest bidder, which is S&R Corporation. And we have a couple of recommendations on that. One would be to reject JD's demolition bid and return their security deposit. We have about a $6,000 check up at our office. That once you approve that, we can send them back the check along with a letter that you weren't selected for the following purposes. Then also, there was one other thing Nick talked about. Execute the grant with New Hampshire DOT for the demolition. That's should be once you've awarded the contract to S&R, then we can put in for the grant on that.
And that wouldn't start until 30 days later. Once that award was made, they have 30 days in which to get ready to do that, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking mid to late summer.
No, it should be before that. It should be, I would say, if you award it, I would hope they'd be in there by the middle of June.
Yeah.
Well, we can't start on the second property until we get funded.
And that's up at New Hampshire DOT right now, waiting for approval.
The funding is wrapped into the demolition. The funding for the second property is all wrapped into the demolition.
How long do you...
So the grant...
Do you think it'll take a while to get here back from the state? You have no clue.
We're hoping that it's going to be sooner than later. I believe the money's been released. I think it's at the state right now. Pretty sure the FAA is
money for what?
For the AIP projects.
For the second one.
Right.
Well, we know the first one's been approved.
Right.
So the second one's been approved and released, or you just said it's wrapped in around the demo project. I don't understand.
The state has all of the funds for all of the projects that they're going to award
right
this summer. including the money for our demolition and our reimbursement on the Alcorn property.
Yay.
Okay. So it's just a matter of going through the process. It's a 60 to 90 day process to go through the grant process and governor and council in order for us to be reimbursed.
So we accept a bid, award a contract, sign the grant, move it forward.
We should have a notice to proceed in within the next two to 4 weeks.
Okay.
They'll have 30 days after that to start work.
Okay. I just don't want to demo the house
and
until
then
we know
for it.
And not
right.
get paid for it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We wouldn't want that to happen.
Okay.
And then as kind of a follow-up to that, once the demolition has taken place, the fence company will come back and install that last section of fence.
Yes. And they're okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So if you want to go ahead and do that vote to formally reject JD Demolition's bid, return the $6,000 security to them, and award the bid to S&I Corporation.
I got it down here. I got some questions first.
Okay.
First, Mr. Woods.
Thank you. Farrell Woods for the record. This is actually to Mr. Rankin. I believe you said 2 weeks to the completion of the fence project. Is that correct?
That's what they're hoping to finish up in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Well, everything except that last portion.
I was going to ask you if that includes installation of the openers and all the electronics necessary to make them run. Those will be operational.
I think there's one down by the T-hangers that doesn't have the electronics. I think we're waiting on power down there, aren't we, Steve?
There's power. I think they want to finish the fence on the far side of the runway first,
yeah.
And then they'll start work.
They'll finish
on,
that.
They'll start on all the other miscellaneous items they need to finish for the rest of the fence that they've already installed.
Okay, so it's going to be 2 weeks plus something then. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
Yeah, my question regards
one
the...
One more question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Rankin, what was the price differential between the low bidder and the second low bidder, and what did the low bidder not provide the airport that causes them to be rejected?
I'll have to get that back to you on that. If you give me your name and number, I'll provide you that information. I don't have the bid right in front of me. Now, do you have it, Steve?
That's kind of what I wanted to know, too. I mean, I was going to ask you, because what I have here is a total of $33,000 for JD Demolition. I guess this is public information. This is public information.
Yeah,
now, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exposed, yeah.
Okay. And S&R is at... 55. So we're talking a $22,000, at least a $20,000 disqualification. But in comparison, I have to say that we have a total of four bids. Three of them are very tight, within 5 to 10%, and then we have JD Demolition in there at almost half the cost, and that scared me. Also, the bid was incomplete, was missing information, and the engineers are recommending that we throw it out.
I was wondering what they were missing. Was it something substantial, or?
It was. I was just briefed on it today. I ended up coming here to fill in for Nick. He would have had the information with him, I'm sure, but I could certainly get back to you and tell you what it was. If you want to give me your information afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
You remember what it was?
I don't know exactly what was missing, but there was...
I think some of it wasn't even addressed right. It wasn't...
There was a lot wrong with it.
You know, he's new. It's something new to him, and, he gave it a shot, but...
And that combined with the fact that he's so much lower, he just makes me feel like he wasn't ready for this type of job.
That happened to me two or three times when I was the manager here. You know, the apparent low bidder. There was one time we bid out the air traffic control tower. It was a company that was just a startup company. They had like a couple of weather stations or something. They came in, and their bid wouldn't even pay for the amount of people that they were required to have on duty. So. We did throw that one out for cause.
And just so everybody knows, we're still $9,000 below what we expected our cost of doing it, okay, with going to the second low bid. Yes, sir.
Thank you, David Chalmers again. Question about the tree removal and the fence project. I saw a bunch of tree trunks down against the fence on Sharon Ave. Are the trees being removed or are they being thinned? Are we taking all the trees out to complete the fence along there or what?
They're removing 10 feet either side of the new fence.
Okay, so there's still be some trees there.
There will be a lot of trees on that northeast side of the runway. Yeah, there will be. In fact, looking at it from our perspective, you may not even notice a difference. It looks like I can see through the trees a little bit better now because there's no leaves on them, but it's really just that 20-foot swath where the fence goes so we can maintain it in the future.
Okay. The other question about the fence, we have discussed in the past the possibility of removing barbed wire from that section down by Sharon Ave. Are we pursuing that anymore, or what are we doing with that?
It's a... It's FAA funded. We wouldn't be able to remove that with FAA money for at least 20 years.
Well, how old is that fence?
It's about a year old, 2 years old.
How much would it cost for us to just take care of it ourselves?
I have no idea.
We've got a section of it. Well, there's no barbed wire anyhow, right?
Yeah, we have from...
From Monroe.
We have from Pine Hill Road all the way almost to the end of Perimeter Road without barbed wire on the new fence.
Right, but that section down there in that corner, I know we had talked about it, or we had discussions here, I just was wondering what the status was. Do we have to leave that up, or can we take that barbed wire down from where it begins by that parking lot there on Perimeter Road down around to the car wash? Is that possible?
My recommendation would be to leave the barbed wire there.
Why?
For wildlife mitigation and to keep folks out too.
Is the fence high enough?
That's a good question. How high is that fence? Is it the same height?
It's an 8-foot fence.
Mm-hmm.
But we're putting in 10-foot.
No. Okay. We're putting in 8-foot everywhere.
So we can remove the barbed wire. No.
I don't know if it's been paid for with FAA money. We'd have to look into that. I don't know.
My recollection was that we decided on not using barbed wire on the new construction of the fence. I've not discussed anything on that side of the airport. And we went along, the airport authority approved the fact that we wouldn't utilize barbed wire on this section from the end of runway 14.
Mm-hmm. Well, the barbed wire starts at the Indian ramp area and goes out in the woods and comes back around and stops again. And in my opinion, Giovanni's, okay? But that was already there, okay?
Yes.
So we didn't put any of that fence in, but it falls under the same criteria as the rest of the fence we don't want barbed wire on. It's in everybody's face. Mm-hmm. And it's the least likely area for there to be wildlife on, jumping the fence. So I think that it's a good point. I think we should look at this. The opportunity to take that fence down for better aesthetics and welcome environment. So let us walk it and put it on your list of items to look into, and let's just talk in the future. And moving forward, committees, S&P committee.
So don't we need motions? We need a couple.
Oh,
wait, Judy.
I'm sorry. Leave your motion out after I told you I had them. Okay. Back to the airport engineers and the recommended motions. The first one, motion we have is to formally reject JD Demolition's bid based on not following the bid instructions.
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. The next motion is to vote to award to S&R Corporation contingent upon receipt of a grant for SBG 12-15-2015. And this is for the demolition of the property acquisition SBG
12-13-2014. So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We have, and we need to do these separately, right?
No, that's good. I think that's what you needed to do, is to, because I believe.
I mean,
because the bid was just one bid, right? It came in on both properties.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, the properties are down here. I think that we should have one more vote, because
sure.
I did mention the grant 12-15-2014 and the project 12-13-2014 and the other project is 12-15-2015. Okay, so let's do it again.
Well, just why don't you just add on the first AD the SPG numbers, and in the second one for SNR, just add the SPG, the 14 and the 15.
Go ahead.
If you read back the motion, can you read back the motion?
No.
Okay, the motion was to reject JD on his submission because it was flawed data or incomplete data, and yes, and that would be for property SBG 12-15-2015 and property SBG 12-13-2014. And the second one would be to approve SNR's submission for properties SBG 12-15-2015 and SBG 12-13-2014.
I have an easier way. Can we just say reject JD Demolition's bid on the two projects for the property acquisition and to accept SNR Corporation's bid as award the job to SNR Corporation for the two acquisition projects in front of us?
And so you don't want to state the projects?
Okay. I'll give it another shot, okay? I move that we reject JD Demolition's bid for both projects, New Hampshire DOT number SBG 12-13-2014
and SBG 12-15-2015.
And return their deposit.
Approved.
So moved. Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those
aye.
In opposed? Motion carries.
Do we have to,
the second item.
Do we have to negate the original motion that we accepted?
No, I think it's just superfluous.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have it for the record.
Well, we still have a motion out there, but it's only half a motion for the job when it has to be done. Okay, the second half of this is a motion to award the bid to SNR Corporation for both projects for the property acquisition, which have numbers SBG 12-13-2014 and 12-15-2015, contingent upon receipt of the grant.
Second.
I need to move it.
So moved
by Director Machigan.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Finally, We need a motion to execute the grant offer from the New Hampshire DOT upon receipt, and that would be conducted by the chair. And this is for both grants? Both grants for the property acquisition projects 12-13-2014 and 12-15-2015.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Continue.
I'm done.
The DVD?
Oh, yeah, the last was... Yeah, the FAA approved the airport's 2015 through 17 DEV plan, and
that can come off.
Excuse me?
That can come off. That can come off the report now.
Yep.
It's all done.
Yep. Yep.
And filed. Good. And we're paid. We're reimbursed. Okay.
Yep. Checks in the mail.
Now, for the third time, we're moving to committees. The S&P committee. Director Adams was not there at the last meeting. I was, and I'll give a brief report. But do we have somebody here from the S&P committee who would like to give us an update? I can chair.
I did a spoke to Rob.
Okay. Do you have something for you?
I spoke to Rob on the phone just to see what he wanted to mention, because I know Wilk is not a big talker, but. He just wants to say things are moving along, not as quickly as he had hoped. The next meeting is Monday the 27th at 5:30, and the one after that is on Monday the 11th of May. Rob will not be there for the next meeting. Dave Wilkie will be running that meeting. So he just wants to make sure everybody comes prepared to move forward.
Said Monday the 27th?
That's what he told me. Is that right, Wilkie? Monday the 27th? Let me just double check.
Okay, thank you. And next item on the agenda is the marketing committee. Director Jackson is not here for a report, and there will not be a marketing meeting this month. So I would say we should move on. Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
On the last thing. I just wanted to check, did you guys get included on the email of the minutes of
no.
the continuing
I did not.
Meetings? Because we had talked about doing that, and I had touched base with Keith. But you were
I'm usually on the distribution list, but I haven't seen anything since the last meeting.
Okay. But the other directors were, everybody was concerned about keeping up with what was going on.
Yes, we have those minutes. I have the minutes. I can forward them to all the directors.
Michael
it's
was
a lot of reading.
So
yeah.
He chose not to
read.
Okay. There's no further discussion on committees. Old business. The CIC, CIP, and the budget to city. Director Rosenblum. Well, and Machine. Any updates?
I went on the internet today to look at the budget committee, and the planning board had a meeting on April the 9th, but there was no data, there was no action taken, and I don't know what the discussion was going to be about. So it was basically incomplete. I was down at the city hall today and on other business, and I tried to find somebody that I could speak to about the future of CIC submissions, and no one was available. So I have nothing to add to the.
So we're kind of new to this because this is our first time we've ever, after our January submittal, cared what they did with it.
The schedule.
But we have, I can ask Alderman Schoenemann, what is the next step in the CIC?
The CIC is going to work similar to the regular budget. And there's an automatic review of all the capital improvement requests, and that'll have to be approved. So there will be budget hearings on all those things, just like there is on a regular budget.
When was that started?
The schedule's not yet been set. They're working on it. We don't have the budget submitted to the Board of Aldermen yet. I know that President D. establishing a schedule for the tentative plan. So as soon as, that's known, it'll be published, and no one's, you know, holding back, it's just not done yet.
Yeah. I understood the schedule was going to be completed by the end of April.
That sounds like a reasonable goal. I believe that would be the goal. It all depends on when the budget gets to us and how all they work, those schedules up. But I know that they are currently working on it.
Thank you.
Okay, further. Underground fuel farm replacement. Director Stevens and Sheehan are working on that. We are going into a non-public meeting after this to discuss confidential purchase and sale items in relation to this. And I will tell you that our discussions are ongoing weekly, and we're looking for some solutions to come up with the finance and in what fashion we're going to replace the fuel farm. So we haven't totally given up on doing nothing, on not replacing the fuel farm. So if anybody has any questions on that, I'll try to answer, but we're trying to kind of keep that under the tabs until we can negotiate some terms and come up with solutions. The next item is the underground fuel farm demolition. Director Stevens is working on that, and I will comment that it's in draft form with instructions and plans, and it's ready to go out. We had a meeting with scheduled tomorrow with the city's procurement officer to make sure that we're kind of following within the accepted practices, and that's been put off. So we'll probably wait to see if we can get some free review from them, but otherwise I expect by the end of the month that we'll have this proposal sent out and bid back the following month. And this is so far out, it's the removal is going to be in the November, December time frame, so we have plenty of time for that. Are there any questions? The National Airport Authority logo revision, Director Cushing Adams, you have the floor.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that today.
Do you want to table it?
Yeah, we'll table it. Gwen's not here, so we'll table it.
Okay, then we'll move on. Is anybody here and wanted to say anything about that? Okay. Land lease agreements, Director Stevens. I've made some progress on that, and I have a handout to show you. We have in front of you are 8 leases, and I don't have a total square foot, but the square foot is on there. The first column is the building number. The fourth column is the square foot of the lease. And the last column that says change on top is the additional lease for each of those properties. If we voted to enact the add to the previous year rate clause in the contract of those 8 leases. So the additional lease amount is $18,000 a year, and that would be an average of 2.25, $2,300 per lease. The highest one is $3,600 a year. The highest increase is $3,600 a year. And the lowest is $1,400 a year.
And how often do you foresee those going up, increasing?
That's a good question, because we're allowed to change the lease every 2 years. And in these eight contracts, we have the choice of either adding the rate change to the previous year's rate or back to the beginning to the original rate. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a clause. I would suggest that we do this once, because all these leases are 5 cents a square foot base, and this would bring them all up to an equivalent 10 cent base. Okay, and I'm talking about base. I'm talking about 1982 numbers. Okay, I think that's probably where we should be looking to try to get all the leases long term. And just so you know, some of the newer leases in the last decade are all at 10 cents, have a 10 cent 1982 base rate. Now, what would happen is, say, in 2016, if we adjusted these rates this way, we wouldn't want to do nearly anything like it for 2018. 2018, we maybe want to hold flat. We don't want to get too outrageous with our lease increases, but we do need, in my opinion, need to work on getting our leases up to the 10 cent rate.
So how many, have you talked to these lease owners?
No.
Okay. And
they need to be given plenty of warning for doing this. And now we're talking about facilities that, for example, here's one, 18,000 square feet. They're currently paying $2,100 a year. Mm-hmm. $2,100 a year to rent 18,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And this would increase their rent to $4,300 a year. And when you talk about maybe that 18,000 square feet is made up of 10 T hangers, that might be an individual T hangers equivalent of $430 a year. Mm-hmm. From 215 to 430 a year.
Mm-hmm. And how about other airports? Have you researched about different airports and what their lease rates are?
I've done some research, and it's not complete, on where should our 1982 base rate, because that's the real question.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the question is what should we look at other airports. I think we should look at this region, the Nashville region, southern New Hampshire, northern Mass, and what is the commercial rate, and then we should stay well below that, like at 75% of that rate, so that we encourage development with incentives, subsidies, you might say. And that's how it's normally done. It's every region is somewhat different. But the reason I'm saying that we should be considering being in the 10 cent plus range is that the base rate is that over the years the value of land has surpassed inflation. So everybody knows that, you know, the boom real estate markets, that certainly wasn't the inflation rate at the time. But, you know, I want to throw this out. We don't have to act on it today. We can talk about it, think about it, talk to users. Okay? I guess overall, this is just the first public statement I've come out on leases. What I want the board to consider is overall, where should our goal be on a base rate?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking in 1982 terms. We should be in somewhere in the range of 8 to 12 cents a square foot. We're currently at 5 cents. And if somebody wants to come down the road next week and sign a lease, we don't need to be sitting with our hand fumbling, wondering what we're going to sign it for. So what I'd like to do is do some investigation with some commercial real estate reps, ask them to do some research and get back to me.
Do everybody on this list is here except for McAlmont's. So everybody whose leases are coming due. Do you want to?
These aren't leases coming due.
Well,
okay.
These are the ones that you want to.
Right, but there are some leases coming due, and we have been approached by somebody who wants to renew a lease, or anybody who has, say, 8 to 12 years left on their lease and wants to go sell it or refinance it, mm-hmm. the bank's going to want, what, 15 to 20? 15 anyway, I think. I don't think everybody around here is paying cash, but, you know, it could be. A lot could be.
So these are just the leases that you want to...
These are the 8 leases that we have out of 48, mm-hmm. okay,
mm-hmm.
that have a clause in them that say that we're to do the adjustment factor based on the CPI
mm-hmm.
and add it to the previous year's rate.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we have not been adding it to the previous year's rate. We've been adding it to the original rate of 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But the current rate, if the current CPI adjusted rate, if you had a 5 cent contract, mm-hmm. is now 11 cents? Is it 11 and a half, Susan?
I'm sorry.
So what's the current five adjusted? CPI? Well, it's 2.3 times 5 cents. Okay, approximately 11 cents.
Of the 5 cents today, at least for our condo, is about 12 and a half.
Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. So what that would do is change a 12 and a half cent rental rate to 25 cents.
Do you want to open up for discussion with people who are here who this will affect, or do you want to?
Well, I think this is the first time they heard it. They want to say something, but to expand on that, the current dollars per square foot of these 8 is 11 and a half cents, 11.45 cents, and this change would change it to 23.7 cents. Because that. You're pretty much taking the adjustment factor and adding it to the previous year's rate. Now, again, if we did this 3 years in a row, we would, I'm doing 3 biannual adjustments in a row, would be totally run out of town, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But by these 8 contracts enable us to take some contracts with long term and adjust the rates to where the economy or the land values. The CPI index is not adjust enough. Okay, so we talked about this and talked about our overall goal on what we wanna, how we want to adjust the lease rates. But even if we throw this completely out and say, well, gee, we're going to do it systematically or differently, the bottom line is we have people out there now who want to sign new leases for new terms, and we need to identify a fair base rate for them.
Mm-hmm. Would we be?
Go ahead.
Would we? I know you said we can increase it every 2 years, right?
Right.
Of course, it wouldn't be wise to
do
that.
We were supposed to be doing it all along.
No, we could do it. We
no,
weren't supposed.
It's in the contract that we should do it.
But we have a choice. We can either add it to the original rate or add it to the previous year's rate. So.
So from this point forward, you'd like to do that, and you would. Would you like to do it every 2 years, or do you know, clearly that's not the wisest thing.
What I would like to do is send out a letter to these 8 individuals who are the contacts for these contracts and let them know that potentially their rates could change on January 1st, 2016, okay, and this is what they're going to change to. And invite them to come speak to us at the next hearing if they'd like to. But there's no rush on this, and that's why I want to do it now. So I guess I would move to, I don't want to alarm anybody, but I think it needs to come from the whole board and think about this, but I move that the board send out a letter to these 8 individuals, let them know what their lease rates may change to based on the contract terms. Pretty much that's it. Discussion?
I don't think I have enough information at this point to make any conclusive decisions or approve or disapprove any motions.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to suggest is that we table this until the next meeting.
Don't need to table it. It's just an ongoing discussion
okay.
right now.
What I'd like to see in the interim between now and the next meeting is the language in the leases which we can review to see if amounts are justified according to the lease, and then discuss it again at the next meeting.
Good point. Anything else? Okay, Wes, you have a comment.
So, I guess I should ask if Hangar 109 is on that list. I don't think it is.
No.
To the question about increases, I think that in our lease, every 2 years, the rate changes with the CP, with the whatever the price index is.
And I want to say that there's a few of you, and you might be one of them, that is already at a 10-cent base rate.
We're not. But my next question is there any factoring into your discussion over, I didn't realize that my neighbor might be getting charged twice as much as I was.
It's a very good possibility.
And I would suggest that you know, somebody might think that's unfair. It certainly might affect the marketability of units in the different buildings. And so you might consider in some way, shape, or form staging the increases so that they converge at whatever your goal is, but so that somebody trying to sell a unit in mind, which there are two for sale, isn't looking at competing with someone who, you know, through no fault of their own, has a lower rate, and therefore is more attractive.
And those are good points. And I want to say that I've read the first two pages of almost 48 contracts, and they're, it's all over the place. Okay, there's umpteen different, you know, calculations to use. Some refer to the Nashua Boston CPI index. Some are annual. Some are multiply your base rate times 240 and divide by whatever, and it just turns the equation. You know, because what the lease is actually, the lease term is that if you cancel your lease, you owe me the rest of your payments. Okay, and I would say a good 30% of the leases out there right now, if you walk away from your lease, you owe the airport authority the rest of your 40 years, or your 20 years, or your whatever you extended to, okay? Because that's the wording on that contract, because the contract is for 5 cents times the square foot, times 240 months worth of payments, and then you only pay your current month. Okay, so that's one method. The other one is that some are 5 cents, some are 10. So what I'm trying to do is get my handle around that, come in with a phasing program to get everybody within the next 10 years on the same lease, okay, paying the same rate. And the rates, by the way, when you really think about it, I don't think anybody's cared, because it's been peanuts, and it's going to be twice as much as peanuts maybe, but it's still peanuts. When you look at an entire hangar complex with millions of dollars of planes in them, paying $4,000, and that's the new higher rate, okay, a year, that comes down to approximately $400 per year per hangar tenant, okay? The people who get hurt the most are the FBOs, who have the most square footage. And they are doing different things, have businesses in their hangars and that kind of thing. So we got to look at that a little bit differently. The leases are something that is not going to be fixed overnight. But I can tell you, we've got to take a look at it. And I want to be in a position so that if somebody walks in here, and we have had one last month, mm-hmm. who wanted to buy a hangar and extend the term out so we can get some bank financing, and we're not ready to talk to them yet. Mm-hmm. So,
I want to make sure that we have a lawyer involved in writing all our new leases. I know that hasn't happened in the
past. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I know it hasn't happened, and it's, you know, it scares me.
Yes.
so I want to be sure that...
No, well, it's not so much as a lawyer, because a lawyer can put it into definition that you can enforce.
Mm-hmm.
It's also putting in the ideas, the terms, okay? We need to tell the lawyer the terms so he can write in there. For instance, you know, by terms, I don't mean how long, but that is one of them. How long the lease, based on what CPI, do we have the ability to look at it and change the CPI index or something? You know, there's a lot of things to consider, and I'll be investigating that. And I could certainly use the help of commercial real estate experienced people. You know, I would certainly solicit that. I'm going to reach out and try to get some national professionals to kind of keep it in there. And I guarantee you, I want to be a hangar owner here as well. I just want something consistent, and I want it affordable, and I think it should be subsidized to an extent that we can afford to subsidize it. Yes, sir.
Farrell Woods, is building 17 on your list?
Let me look, Farrell. No, but I'll put it on.
Thank you, Sandy.
Twice.
Is 129 on
it? Yes, it is.
As far as having a lease rate for someone coming onto the field, that person is making a very different kind of decision than someone who's been here for a while. You just mentioned stability. If someone's going to come in here, they're going to want to know what the rate is now, and I think the charging market rate is perfectly reasonable at that time, because they're going to decide, well, I want to be here or not. They have nothing invested yet until they commit to it. But once they commit to it, then they want to know next year what it's going to be, and they want to make sure that they know what that future holds. And the people that are here already are in a very different position because they've invested, they own the hangar, they own the airplane, all these other things, and it might only be $400 a month, but some people are going to shake their head and say, I can't do another $400 a month, or $400 for the year, whatever it is. So I think the idea of phasing it in is a great way to go, and I think holding people below that rate, even if it ends up that you have different rates across the field, is good because it provides a stability that people coming in here to make that investment in the first place need. The guy who comes in, you tell him it's going to be 10, 15, 20 cents, he'll decide, sure, yes or no. I might choose a different hobby or I might go to a different airport, perfectly fine. He's not losing anything in the process, but the guy who's already invested, the person who's already invested, I think stands to lose more. So the phased idea is good, and I think talking to people and finding out what they think. And what's it going to mean to me? I think I pay top dollar renting a hangar over there.
Well, and there's other aspects to look at too, okay? One of them is, how much money do we make on leases? $250,000, $280,000? Come on, if we double that, we're going to be making $560,000, okay? We don't need that much money, okay? You might say, well, yeah, we need to do some asphalt repairs and that kind of stuff, but we also have to be looking at our total budget and long term, and how much really do we want to make as a non-profit enterprise, but with capital improvements that we need to save for constantly. The second thing is Plan B. Plan B, I mentioned it in January a couple months ago, and that is that leases are going to expire. We have to have a program and a lease rate for renewing those leases. Otherwise, the airport has the authority. The airport authority can just sit back and let them expire and start taking the land back with whatever buildings are on them. But we've got a lot of leases expiring in the next 10 to 12 years, and as we get closer, the value starts to plummet. So anybody within 10 years of their lease expiration is going to be willing to come in here and start negotiating a new rate. So it's not really 10 years away. I know if I owned a hangar right now, I'd be wanting to negotiate a 20-year lease every 10 years, just so that I always had at least 10 years on my property. And we need to be looking at that as well. So, again, it's under... Yes, Wes.
Wes Lou, What percentage of the airport budget are leases?
Remember the pie chart I had up here a couple months ago?
Yeah. About 50%?
Over 50.
Much more than that.
What's your total budget, around 5.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Leases used to be almost over 300.
The good news, I have a copy of an agreement that says that you're going to extend this for 20 more years if we can come to terms. So I don't think you're going to get our building, but clearly, you know, having kind of being able to see into the future is a good thing.
A good half or a half more.
That's close enough.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
a little more than a half. About
now the problem you've got, and in support of, you know, subsidizing a little bit, you go look at our vacancy rate, and you see a ramp that has 20% of the airplanes it did 10 years ago, and, you know, I keep saying that, you know, out of 12 units, we have two for sale. So that's, and I have actually made some calls to other airports, and they're in the same boat. So what Director Stevens is talking about in terms of not charging market rate, you know, is probably supported by the facts in airport real estate today, which is different than general commercial real estate. So.
Okay, the pie chart. Out of 518,302 was lease income. Okay. And that's when people come to me and they say, you know, the airport's losing money, it's been in the red the last 3 years. And I look at them and go, you don't understand. With the right fiscal management, the airport can be extremely wealthy, okay? But what we have to do is make it affordable for the users and the aviation, support the growth of aviation, be responsible and have money to save for capital projects to make sure the National Airport is the best around. And finally, you know, pay your lease. Yeah. Okay, so somebody wants to see this, I'll leave it out. Yes, thank sir.
You. Yeah, thank you, Director Stevens. Shane McLaughlin for the record. I had 4 points to make, and Alderman Cherneman made one of them for me, and Wes, you've made the second one, so I just got two. I think the financing consideration is very important for the long term. And to that end, I would hope that you would give some consideration to, on these leases, when you do renegotiate and do renew, you consider, and remember, the FAA strongly encourages in its documentation the longest term leases that you can see your way clear to do. A 20-year lease is a great lease, and if you can consider a 20-year lease with a 20-year option to renew on the same terms and conditions. And as many leases are currently in effect, there's a third-year term also available, subject to renegotiation of the rent amount. So that becomes an option. If parties can't agree, then it doesn't go forward. The other point I'd make is on the lease amount itself. I think to the extent you can keep the amounts down, you've already talked about that, is going to be helpful to us. But remember, from the user side, we may see whether it's a nickel a foot up to the 12.5 cents, whatever it is currently with the CPI escalator. Actually, we see a little bit different number because we're paying money, whether it's to the National Airport Authority on the land rent, but we're also paying a significant amount of money to the city of Nashua. And in the long run, to the user, that's an overall out-of-pocket cost to a municipality, whether it's the authority. I know that doesn't go to you, and my argument would be more of it ought to go. But in our case, as you know, we just paid over $185,000 last year in real estate taxes. That's a cost to us on the use of the land that we don't own. So it's just a comment I'd make in line with the comments you've made.
And they're very good ones. Well, I will add that one of the things that I'm trying to look into to pose as an option is that provide an incentive for anybody who still has 12, 15 years on their lease and wants to sign up for a new 20 term is offered that 20 term. And I think it's more on people in the 8 to 10 range, which is going to happen very soon. We have some 8s out there, okay, right now. If they sit down today, sign a 20-year lease with us, then all they had to do is agree to a new base rate. Okay? And again, that's a base rate we can phase into. We're doing pretty good income-wise, and we don't need the meeting to go up for doubling up. So I'm going to stop the conversation for now, and we'll move on with this topic, but I'll come back with a concrete motion next month after we've had a discussion on these 8 leases that give us provision to do something right now. Okay? Yes, sir.
May I add one final comment? I'll ask for permission first.
Yes, please.
I didn't want to, just override you there. I think the best way, or one of the best ways to guarantee the future generalization is to have a ramp full of airplanes. Hangars full of airplanes, a ramp full of airplanes. So we need to really guard the cost. And I understand we have income issues, but we need to guard the cost so that people aren't scared away from buying an airplane. It's a lot of money, and if we do things that causes someone to say, I'm gone, they're not just gone from here, they're gone from aviation. I just want to put that out there as part of the conversation.
Agreed.
Thanks.
Okay, the next item on the agenda.
Dennis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Peter,
yes, sir.
I just want to stress that, now that this issue is out of the bag, it's hurting already in terms of sales of hangars and scaring people. Happened. It's here. So you've got to address this really quickly and settle on it. You can't let this one lie. You're going to start devaluing properties and hurting us all in terms of people that want to start to turn over things for various reasons. This is a big issue.
In the meantime, I can assure you that we're not going to let anybody get stumped while we're deliberating this. There is a current contract. A few wording changes, maybe. Current the term would probably be 20 years, and the base rate would be 10 cents. Because we already have established that with several of our current owners out there. So that, to me, that's satisfactory. We've already got contracts as recent as 4 or 5 years ago that are on that rate. So I don't have any proven move. A problem recommending moving forward with that until we come up with something new.
Right. We have one that's only 4 years out, too, and we want to transfer it, they have a right, especially if they won't get financing unless they get put there.
Now, understand, if we get 10 cents, doubling, we don't need to double that blue mark right there. I mean, goodness sakes. We're within the $2,200 of meeting our budget this year, so we don't need to necessarily double this. So I'm very happy right now with 10 cents. But we do need to do a little bit of study and concrete that. Yes, Mary.
Mary Coffin, for the record. Just a question. Do you know how much money the city gets from real estate taxes from the...
$730,000.
One more question.
Yes.
Final comment, Bert Nain. I just want to thank you for reading 48 contracts, or whatever it was.
Just the front two pages, I'm sorry.
That's still a lot. Okay. And I think you're moving in the right direction. This is very timely for all of us. Ours is 10 years out, and I think this really sets up the proposition where some of us will be over to see you very shortly to see what we can do about that.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, moving on. New business. There is no new business, and we're down to public input. We have any public input? Wes?
So, I just have a very simple question. There was a vote last time, and so will we see the recording of today's audio on the website this week?
Yes, you will.
Thank you.
Within a day?
Friday.
Friday. Farrell?
Oh, that was my question.
Yes, Dave.
I just have a question on the last subject, on that blue slice of pie. Does that include tie-down income? Is that lease?
No,
that's just...
The tie-down is on here. It is the yellow. See, that's me paying right there. Okay.
Thank you, Dennis.
And you know what? There's that, it's surprisingly a very large piece. I think we have to be pushing a lot more into that. I think the tie down fee should come down a little bit.
Refresh our memories to what color the fuel sales are.
Fuel sales are orange. Okay.
Wow.
And fuel farm is purple. And state of New Hampshire registration is a little blue sliver, and the green is snow removal. Yeah, come by and take a look at it. You can also see our expenses. It's a quick read.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You brought up the aircraft registrations, and just to point out that the airport does get 25% back of the aircraft registrations that 25% of your payment to the state of New Hampshire comes back to the airport. So just wanted to point that out. If your aircraft isn't registered with the state of New Hampshire, please make sure that it is, so that your airport gets that money and not some other airport.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. On that subject, we had some conversation before about the size of the registration fee for new aircraft and the fact that it would seem to tend to push new airplanes out of the state, and the state's not getting any income from that. Is the NAA going to do any lobby with the state at all to see if we can make any changes to that? I think the argument that we would lose income, I think, is moot, because they're probably going somewhere else. But if we could do something about the state registration fees for new airplanes, we might have.
I've been doing some research with Rita from the DOT. She sent me a lot of information, doing some research. You know, the argument can be made we're going to lose money, you know, but how much money might we bring in maybe hangar rentals or fuel sales or whatever. So, you know, it's tricky. You know, it's nice if you have a nice big jet that's new when it comes in. But, you know, people with nice big jets tend to be wise, and they might not bring their airplanes to New Hampshire to.
Well, I gather that the registration fees are reasonable once you're over the 10-year mark.
Yeah.
I think it's, but I have a question. Would it be an easy process maybe for the airport manager to call 3 or 4 other airport managers, and then if you all agree, maybe approach AOPA to pay for have some more lobby money represented in New Hampshire? Because I think the biggest impact would come from the guys who do it all the time. And I thought I read something.
Mm-hmm.
About that,
I think I forwarded you stuff from Rita. There's groups and stuff that are already working on it, and you know, haven't had much luck, but you know, it's something that I think I talked to you about it, Shane. This, you know, it's something I think we should all look into anyway.
I thought the Airport Managers Association was looking into that on the lobbying level.
No, we haven't.
What is it, DRED, or is it DRED?
I think
there's
you should.
There's
yeah.
Two different groups. So.
Now that you're president.
I'll tell you, the conversations I've had with other airport managers about this is most of them are vehemently opposed to touching the aircraft registration fees. It's considered to be a sacred cow. The 25% that they get is pretty substantial for some of their budgets, and don't think you're going to find much interest with airport managers in going after that revenue.
I can show them how to increase their leases.
Traveling roadshow?
Well, to answer your question, Dave, I certainly am researching it. I have been for a little while. A lot to figure out, and a lot of opposition, like Steve said. So, you know, by all means, if you guys have some input or want to band together, and you know, please do. Rita is a great source. Maybe we could set up a meeting in one of the hangars and have everybody together to talk about that.
Question for Steve.
Yes, what?
Are the aircraft registration databases, is that public information?
No, it's not. Okay. They're protected.
Shane.
Shane McLaughlin for the record. We certainly can understand the importance of the 25% on registration fees to the airport authority in terms of a revenue source. But I think it's important to understand, and we've been in touch with other FBOs throughout the state, particularly at some of the larger airports, the aircraft registration fee on new aircraft is the single largest impediment to new aircraft owners basing their aircraft here. We'd love to see you get the money. I mean, that's not, we don't own any large aircraft. I know other folks do. I know that Infinity has some aircraft that may be subject to within that 10-year window. We don't. But nevertheless, for example, if you were to acquire a new G650, which we could base here and fit here in one of our facilities, the registration fee is going to be about $300,000 a year. Goes to the state of New Hampshire, and then approximately 25% comes to us, which is a lot of money, admittedly. But the important consideration is this, is the single biggest competitor we have, and that we meaning hangar owners here at Nashua, FBOs here, is, I would say, Massachusetts. Massachusetts currently has a nominal, but in those terms, aircraft registration fee. And I'm going to quote a number that's going to be a real rough number, but on that aircraft, it's going to be around 2,500, maybe 3,000 a year for the first year on that aircraft in Mass. And the other important consideration to have is this. Mass has waived sales tax on aircraft in Mass as a further inducement to base their aircraft there. So Mass is tax-free, and for all intents and purposes, on aircraft ownership. We are the second highest, second only to Maine, in aircraft registration fees. And all of the other New England states are relatively nominal along the line of Massachusetts. And what's happened, and this has been the discussion, and I'll quote another FBO owner who's really concerned about this in another large airport in the state, where he noted that what has happened, unfortunately, is that the other states have seen the effect of aircraft registration fees on aircraft basing, and they are now using that as a competitive weapon against states with higher fees, of which we are one. So I would just urge your consideration in that regard. We had a particular tenant, and I've made that known to some of you personally, that went to great lengths to acquire an aircraft that was exactly 10 years old and not 9 and a half, and went overseas to do that and searched long and hard so he would not have to pay the New Hampshire registration fee and get up from under. The problem we face is that a lot of large companies are buying newer aircraft and they're keeping them for a while and then rotating them out. But it's those companies and those aircraft that we really want to have at Nashua because they fly a lot and they buy a lot of fuel.
Thank you. You know what? I'm glad you pointed that out. I was aware of that, but not really connecting the two. Dick and I have been on the board for a long time. We've shared a goal to increase the commercial, industrial, and biggest part of that is jet traffic, and get more jets here. And you know what? It doesn't matter what kind of runway we build, or hangars, or whatever infrastructure we have, which is what we've been working on. It sounds like the hurdle is the registration fee, and it's just a big black sore right there.
I have quite a bit of data on this to the Senate, and I'd be happy to share it with you.
The problem is finding the right group to go after this. How do we organize that? I don't know if it's AOPA, but Sandy, yeah. I know you're starting to push on it. So
yeah, and there are already groups formed, and I think if we all band together, I think it's already failed a few times. People trying to get things done.
I can tell you one thing. I would be happy to negotiate a reimbursement from the airport authority. I'd put that before the board. If we got somebody with a new jet coming into town, certainly I would put that on the table. I mean, think of all the fuel and everything else that comes along with it. Yes, Carol.
Carol Woods. Question for Mr. Burke. You said a moment ago to Wes that the registration database for New Hampshire is not publicly available. However, do you know, for instance, at Nashua, how much income you get from each airplane?
We do.
Okay.
The list we get from Department of Transportation that we check against every year, we're instructed to make sure that it stays confidential.
Okay. So I guess the question there is, since you have that information, what percentage of income or what percentage of aircraft based at Nashua are under 10 years, and for which you get the higher fees then. You may not have that information right off the top of your head, but...
That'd be a calculation.
Because I'm just wondering how significant that is.
I can tell you there's not a lot of...
That's kind of what I thought.
Probably less than 5%.
Yeah, that was kind of my point. Thank you.
Any more public input on other topics? Okay, we'll move on to director comments, starting with Sandy.
We did, Webster held their safety expo, and unfortunately it was not a fabulous weekend, but we still did well. You all donated raffle prizes, which was great. Steve came over and sat a while, and I did, and some of the users came, Dennis, Dick, Mike was out of town vacation. But we sat and we didn't really sit, but we nagged people and sold raffle tickets. So we ended up earning $744, except minus expenses, it came to $667, and we split that with Rick Bartle's group, the NHASEC, for allowing us to go over there and nag people for money. So I opened a bank account called the Airport Community Account. It's not going to be an Airport Authority account. It's going to be our community because everybody in the community donated. So the money that we have now, we have to figure out how to use and make more money. I sat with somebody from the Telegraph and talked about a way he can give us an ad with all of us involved. We should, we'll take some of this money to start it off, and he'll also do stories about the airport. And I'm going to talk to different places, different radio stations, and work on that. So working on the community calendar, all of that stuff I want to come from the community money, so that we're all in it together, including the Airport Authority, because they're part of our community. So so not just, Airport Authority and the users are separate. I think we should all work on it together. Can you give me one of those names, please? And I don't know how many of you have seen, do you all have a copy of this yet? So this is a magazine, and Steve did a little interview. But there's a story about National Airport in here. So we're just working on getting more exposure in the cheapest way possible right now until we can build up enough money to do more. Steve has been working on events. Like he said, we have the Touch a Truck. Young Eagles is coming up. Greg is still kind of bouncing that around. When exactly? Usually it's the first Saturday in June that he might have a conflict, so we'll see about that. We're doing, the Rib Fest is coming, and for the Rib Fest, Steve, we're going to do a shuttle from here over to the Rib Fest.
We're working on it.
We're working on the shuttle. I think Steve's going to be driving.
And we had a Greek festival right down the street.
Yeah. So, and he has the commemorative Air Force coming in, the Warbirds want to do something. So the calendar is filling up pretty quick. I talked to Bob over at CR, and we wanted to get a helicopter fly-in over the winter, but it kept getting postponed. So that is, he gave me his calendar, and we're going to pick a date for that with a pancake breakfast. The poker run, Monty Emon is working on a date for the poker run, so there's a lot of stuff coming up. And I really hope everybody participates and works together so that we can, start thriving like we should. I have a few more things here. The audio we already talked about, so that's good. For those of you that don't know, Billy Seladakis had his surgery, and he is doing great. He's back to work, which is amazing to me, so I'm really happy about that. Dave Heath is clumsy, and he fell and damaged his leg pretty badly, so he is laid up for quite a while. I don't know if he'll be at any of the standards and procedures meetings. And again, I want to thank Susan. I know I thank her all the time, but she really is good about me nagging her and getting me whatever I need, when I need it, and where can I find this. And so thank you for that. You're welcome.
Thank you. Director Rosenblum.
I just want to comment that there's a lot that this board does behind the scenes between meetings, and we do put in a considerable amount of time and effort, but we also recognize that we're all in this together, and we want this airport to grow and to thrive. The economics, we certainly will, as we started to discuss tonight, we'll be looking in the long term. We've started to approach the city to try to get some of the real estate taxes that you've all been contributing to the city for improvement of the airport, because this jewel is an asset, and we have to keep it at the level and the not only the level, but also the support of that we have now, and to continue that and to continue to improve our facility.
Thank you, Leo. If you don't have anything, I'll make a motion.
No, do you have anything?
No.
Okay, I do have something.
Okay.
I just want to tack on that, thank you so much, Sandy, for all the effort you put together for the expo, okay? And I want to recognize what actually was accomplished, okay? We took an event that's a regional event, and we got businesses' names out there. It wasn't about the raffle. I was up there pushing the raffle. No, it was getting the people to go look at what the raffle was about, and what they saw was 15 to 20 businesses in the list, and people didn't even know we had this or did that, and that's what we need to be doing, okay? I think everybody needs to contribute. The whole thing's just a little bit of organization, and then you have 250 attendees seeing the businesses, knowing the businesses exist on a rainy day with no signage. They just know we're here, okay? That's what the effort was for this raffle. It wasn't about money, $300. I'll give you another $300 next week, okay? It was about advertising, okay? And that's what we need to do. Every one of these events that Sandy mentioned, we have to find out how we can get an aviation presence at the barbecue, or, you know, the Rib Fest, the Tech Truck. If we have 1,000 guests here for the Touch a Truck, and we're not out there making sure they know we're here, you know, then the businesses are falling behind. Okay, so we need to push that. Need to contribute, need to participate, not contribute. Okay, so I just want to point that out, and that's all. So, yes.
Sorry, one more. I forgot to add to my report. The last year we had a legislator tour, and we followed that with a tenant appreciation barbecue, and we're going to do that again this year on May 29th. So, I've already started approaching some of the tenants on the airport. For them to be stocked for the legislators. We'll of course invite the entire Board of Aldermen, the mayor, all of our state representatives. There's at least a dozen of them, and our two state senators. So
that would be a great opportunity to talk to them about things like registration fees.
Sure.
Show them on the airport and point out there's no new airplanes here. New airplanes go somewhere else. And those are the folks who are that we have to lobby.
And the idea is to take them on the tour and have them mingle at the barbecue with the tenants on the airport. So
all kinds of conversations.
Yeah,
that's how that's
absolutely.
I guess Shane.
Yes, do you have a date yet for the barbecue?
May 29.
3 to 5. Right?
It's a Friday. Yeah, 3 to 5 is the tour, and 5 o'clock on is the barbecue.
Great. Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion. Move to the non-public session to discuss the hiring of a new employee and the purchase and sale and lease of property in regards to RSA 91A 3 section 2.
We have a second.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we're adjourned for non-public session, and we'll take a 5-minute break.